Hear that?
That's well, you didn't let me do the note first, though, so it's kind of...
Now it's... Mm-hmm. Now it's you've tainted.
Well, you, that, you wanted a B flat. What? D sharp.
It's good.
All right. How are you?
That's a D.
Oh, you... It wasn't
a D.
Yeah, close.
Are you ready?
You're a little short.
This camera's losing
Here's
battery,
a P.
Guys. Seriously.
What?
This camera's going to lose battery. I've been on standby for a while.
Did you just piss your pants?
That was the brown note. That was the brown note or the yellow note.
And I'm rolling.
There's one for either.
Steven rolling a joint.
Yeah, rolling up a fatty.
Hello everybody. And welcome to
From Under a Rock,
the podcast where we take off our pants.
What?
And pull each other. No, you're done?
No, please keep going.
Pull each other
close in a warm
bubble
embrace of camaraderie and self-loathing.
Oh.
And.
We are not on the
are
same
done?
Page.
Are you
but
done?
But I'm so glad we have changed what the podcast is about.
I don't know. I kind of want to see where it's going.
Welcome to From Under a Rock, the podcast where we pick a movie that one or more of us has not seen by now and watch them together and rate them, bringing each other out from under the proverbial rock. Hopefully you as well, dear listeners.
And moving forward, we have our pants down.
You can't see them on the
bringing each other close in loathing embraces.
Yeah. In loathing embraces.
Self-loathing embraces.
Of course.
I'm Ryan Evans.
I'm James McAnally, a.k.a. McDoodles.
I'm Michael Ornelas, a.k.a. Mike Bourbon.
And I'm Steven Zarita, a.k.a. Steven Stupin's Bourbon, the Burb Zarita, the Jerk.
Don't show off.
Woo. No, that was good. I liked it.
Yeah, you got through all those.
And we are celebrating a very special cycle of four with... The crew's favorite films of all time.
Or as we call it, Cinco de Mayo.
That was a while ago.
This is so far past Cinco de Mayo
by
the time this comes out.
And also
First of all, it's not even Cinco de Mayo today.
Yeah, also we started recording these before Cinco de Mayo and didn't mention anything about Cinco de Mayo.
Fooled ya.
You know what Cinco means, right?
Movies, right?
Yes, of course.
No, Mayo means
movies.
You have it backwards.
Favorites of movies.
That's the only problem with this is that you had the words backwards. Mayo de Cinco.
Mayo de Cinco.
I'm half Hispanic, and I'm pretty sure you're right about that. So.
What's the other half think?
The other half,
the Irish half.
The Irish half is too busy drinking.
Lost.
It's like
the other half is
doesn't
trying
even
to
care.
Fight me right now.
So anyway, this week was James' pick for his all-time favorite, though we might have watched one or two of his all-time favorites.
We already watched like Jurassic Park and
Casablanca.
And Casablanca.
But
settling for third.
But I still think it's a super solid pick, Shaun of the Dead.
Yes. I love Shaun of the Dead ever since I watched it back when it was like always on Comedy Central. I don't know if you remember the days.
Oh, I remember the days.
Back in like 2006 when it was
when Midnight on a Friday night was the best thing on Comedy Central.
It was on every weekend.
Yeah.
And I watched it almost every time. And I feel like that's what my first real brush with British culture was in a way too. I mean, not counting music.
Mine was Austin Powers. So I have
that doesn't really count.
I have a horrible misrepresentation of what I think
well,
the Brits
like,
are.
I think the true brush with at least the British way of speaking is when like you watch a movie like Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz and you realize that you don't understand half of the things that they're saying until maybe the third viewing.
Have we seen Hot Fuzz, by the way? Have we all seen Hot Fuzz?
Yes.
I have, but I don't remember it, and I remember not liking it.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah.
I'd say it's...
I really want to rewatch it, because like knowing how much I love Edgar Wright movies, I'm very curious what I would have hated. I saw it, I believe, in theaters.
Uh-huh. No, I saw it in theaters, too.
And I haven't seen it since, and I had very different tastes back then, so...
Well, I mean, I would say that Hot Fuzz is probably the more solid movie... But Shaun of the Dead's just my favorite because it's so, I'd say it's more charming.
Well, also for me, I have a, I have a huge love of zombie movies. I've seen
right
a lot of the major ones, if not all of them. So seeing a movie that is basically a love letter to all of those is mm-hmm. much more endearing to me than watching Hot Fuzz, which mm-hmm. is copying the tropes of a genre thing that I'm not really as passionate yeah. about.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, but with the
buddy cop sort of
buddy
thing.
Cop movie,
right.
Yeah. So James, being the host of the podcast mm-hmm. per se,
the Lord of the podcast
this week anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Next week, who knows? Because James is going to be giving.
I mean, actually. It's Steven. He's the only one left in the cycle.
Oh, guys, come on, just
spoil it together, guys.
James is going to be giving out points throughout the podcast.
I am.
Culminating in a challenge.
In a challenge.
Challenge.
Not yet, guys.
Not. Okay.
Keep it down.
Sorry.
Keep it down.
I got excited.
Just quiet little challenge for now.
Little challenge.
Where he will give out more points and determine the winner who will pick next week's movie.
It'll be Steven.
Why'd you put winner in quotes?
I'm sorry.
Why'd you put winner in quotes?
Because Steven might not win.
Oh.
Look, Steven, we're just going to watch Alien again.
But he will damn sure pick. He may not win.
But yeah, you started to talk a little bit about Shaun of the Dead. When did this movie come out?
2004, if IMDb mm-hmm. serves, which it always does. And that was a much different time. Oh my God, that was 11 years ago. Holy crap.
That was over a decade ago.
That's nuts. Wow. Like, I always think of this movie just being something new that was on TV all the time.
Well, it holds up.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were released today, I think it would get the exact same level of adoration.
Well, I get some weird looks when I say that this is one of my favorite movies, like, bar none.
Are they idiots?
I think they're people who aren't as familiar with Edgar Wright's work, especially considering, like, on the surface, you know, it's a comedy about zombies, and it says even on the box here, a smash hit romantic comedy with zombies, and that's fair.
I watched the trailer when I posted this on Facebook, you know, for social media, and the trailer ends with rom-zom-com. It's a rom. it's just all those three. It really yeah. is all those three things put together. Yeah.
Well, I would say, like, on the surface, it is that, but like there's so many layers to the comedy. It's not just the guy falls over and everybody laughs. It's like, you know, everything is, there are recurring jokes.
Although
within
that happens.
Recurring jokes. That does happen.
Quite a lot, and it is quite funny.
But I mean, like, as far as like, it doesn't rely on slapstick humor for the humor to happen. In fact, like, a lot of the times there is humor going on in the background when you're getting fed exposition and all the information that you need to know. You're just not even thinking about it because you're watching something in the background.
I love that kind of stuff that makes repeat viewings just even more of a treat, where you're picking little stuff out that you didn't notice before.
Mm.
But, you know, Steven, the trailer called it rom-zom-com. Rom-zom-com. I would add one more onto that. Drom.
Actually, yeah. No, because...
Rom-com-zom-drom.
That's something. That's something. I think in the last couple weeks, either before, during, or after the podcast, I've mentioned I don't really like this movie the same way everyone does. Like, up to a certain point, I'm like, yeah, this is funny. I'm along for the ride. But when the drama gets in, I
yes.
just like
it's catching on.
It's catching on. Rom-zom-com drama. Too many genres. When the drama gets in there, I just think it starts to not be a coherent film anymore. Like, I'm just gonna get it out front, what I don't
Steven,
like about this
negative
movie.
2 points.
I'll take
right
it
now.
I will take it. No, seriously, this movie is really funny. It's got a great, like, visual, it's like visual poetry. They reuse a lot of shots, but they change certain things, and it's up to the viewer to look at the details, and it's, you know, really rewarding. And then there you go, you get the joke. But I mean, there's like a scene where Simon Pegg's mom is infected, turns into a zombie. He cries over her. Everybody's conflicted, and he has to shoot his mother.
Wait, so you're saying
I get to that point in the movie, I'm like, oh, and it's just not funny. Like, everything after that, I'm like, oh.
So are you saying
this is really uncomfortable?
It's a rom-zom-com/mom-drom.
Mom-drom, yeah.
Rom-com-zom-drom-mom. Nope, I can't end with mom.
Mom-drom.
Mom-drom.
It's a mom-drom.
Yeah. It's a mom-drom in addition to a rom-zom-com.
Hashtag it.
Where's it from? England, right?
England. Yeah. London.
London. See, I just love that part. That scene is incredible.
I think that's
to me.
I mean, I like in terms of like direction and his acting and stuff. I agree. Like it's done so genuinely. It just for me conflicts with everything up to that point. Like I've been having a fun time making fun of the zombie genre.
Is
and
that
then
a
like,
problem?
Oh.
I think that that's the
for me. Yes.
Well,
really,
it comes to the climax and you realize that like things are getting the stakes are getting higher and higher and people are starting to die. And I think that like it wouldn't make as much sense if the climax was something totally comedic. I mean, it still manages to be comedic.
And by the way, that's not even the climax. The climax is Ed dying, which is arguably the one that Sean loves the most. He loses his mom. He loses his best friend who, I mean, you're basically seeing a love story between them just without
he has
any
to
sexual
accept
tension.
Him, yeah.
But like they are best, they are inseparable.
So on top of that, it's also a bromance.
Yes.
Brom.
Okay.
It's a brom-com. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the stakes are super high. I'm very interested that like genre matters so much to you that despite it just, you know, just being a movie that makes its own choices outside of genre, the fact that his mom dying is an issue.
Well, like for me, the string is comedy. That, you know, it's a rom-com and it's a zom-com. And then the com strings them all together. But like, there's no, there, like for me, there's just nothing funny about that scene to where I just like, what, wait, what kind of a movie am I watching? Just because that's what stands out to me. Cause like the first time I saw this, I was like 14. I'm like, right. I love my mom dearly. If my mom died, and not only if she died in front of me and I had to shoot her.
That's what makes it so heartbreaking.
Yeah. But just for me, it breaks apart the movie. Like everything up to that, I love it. But I just like,
yeah,
but I think
I
think it needed to be dramatic because I mean it brings the comedy right back as soon as they're out and like life's back to normal. And I mean even a little bit while they're still in the thick of it, there's still a little bit of comedy. Yeah. I feel like it gets more dramatic as the movie goes on. I don't feel like it's just a spike, you know.
I would say without like the major dramatic death, though, it loses its gravity. It loses its ability
its
to
meaning,
have.
Yeah.
It doesn't have depth. You can have a surface level comedy where it's like, oh, I got some laughs, but it's not going to stick with me. Or you have something that makes you feel things like this does, and it makes a bigger impact.
For me, it's the most classical image of theater. Mm-hmm. The two masks. The one is laughing. The other is crime.
Tragedy and comedy.
Tragedy and comedy. The two, basically the original two genres. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, Shakespearean tragedies and comedies.
They didn't have romance back then?
They didn't.
They sure didn't have rom-zom.
They didn't have rom-zom, drom-com,
mom-drom,
.com. Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, the .com, it's rom-zom.com.
Someone register that, please. But this movie, it's like my friend's, I had a friend back in high school who I was just insanely jealous of because he was good at everything.
Oh.
You know, he was...
I didn't know you in high school.
He was a super talented musician. he was one of the nicest people ever. He read,
books and shit?
Dostoevsky and all this crazy literature. Constantly. He was really good at video games. He watched a ton of movies.
How was he with the ladies?
He was well-spoken. He was good-looking, good with the ladies. He was funny. I was insanely jealous of this guy. To me, Shaun of the Dead is the movie that I am jealous of.
Because
it does everything, and it does it so well.
Mm. I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree. You get a point for being jealous.
Okay, to me, I see what you're saying, and I agree because like if I take each bit of it, the comedy is great, the drama is great, like every individual bit.
But it pieces together so well.
That's where I disagree. That is like if I made an amazing spaghetti dinner and I like put all these spices in there, and then for some random reason I decided to throw in Mountain Dew into the sauce.
Well,
Mountain Dew's great.
Crappy. No, Mountain Dew is crappy, and that's where you're ruining your spaghetti.
But you get what I'm saying. Like this ingredient just doesn't blend.
I don't know.
We disagree.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't want to spend too much time on it because I'd like to talk about the stuff I do like. But just for me, it's like it's like if you put
I would say that Mountain Dew is more comedic.
It's like if you made like a nice spaghetti and then someone dipped their balls in it.
No, like I want the metaphor to work.
All right,
I need a good ingredient, but that like it's great, but it doesn't belong in that.
Have you tried balls,
Steven? I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I understand. It's like if you got together to watch a movie and do a podcast, and then everyone took their pants off. You know,
wait. I mean, what would that be like?
And dip their balls in it.
In the
have
pants?
You seen, has everyone seen The State?
The State?
Oh,
I'm gonna put no, my balls in it. Okay.
Well, what is something?
Chocolate. It's like if you put chocolate on top of the spaghetti.
Loved it. Well, I didn't really, but I really want my point.
I feel like you, that is a thing. You put chocolate shavings on top of pasta. I've seen that before.
Hmm. You got, man.
What, okay. What is something that you do like about this movie?
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
We spent enough culinary time.
If I can come up with a better ingredient to go in the spaghetti, I'll let you know. I mentioned before the visual poetry is so good. Like we prefaced this last week, but there's so many visual gags, and like this, both visually and in the dialogue, there's just so much setup and punchline. It's done like masterfully, I think. Michael, you even mentioned at one point Ed sets up and mentions pretty much the plot of the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And therefore the rest of the movie is a big punchline and it you know, encourages multiple viewings because you wouldn't really notice that on the first or second try.
So Michael, do you remember any of that? Because I was trying to look out for those things that he had mentioned in that
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. If you guys want to talk about something else,
I remember it starts out. Let's keep drinking. Let's get up tomorrow and let's have a Bloody Mary. And then they look out their back window and there's a woman named Mary who was the first zombie that they encountered.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. I didn't even notice that. And yeah. She's bloody. Yeah.
Well,
she gets bloody.
He pushes her onto a metal.
She
spike.
Gets impaled. Yeah,
she and then, gets impaled. Yeah. And then she's a little
incredibly
bloody
dangerous
that.
Thing to have in your yeah. backyard. A spike? Well, actually, it looks like something
yeah,
you would
I think
put
it was like a tea ball. Like, or, no, yeah, umbrella. It's like a yeah a patio umbrella.
It seemed like he was, yeah, kind of lucky that she was a zombie.
All right, you guys.
Yeah. Same with that
oh
guy.
Oh, my
that,
God, yeah.
Same with the guy they ran over in their car later.
So here it is. Ed's pep talk. We'll have a Bloody Mary first thing. So, mm-hmm. yeah, they have the girl named Mary. Have a bite at the king's head. That would be his stepdad
yep.
beaten dead. Couple at the little princess, which is... going to pick up
his girlfriend.
His girlfriend. And then the other little couple. And then we'll stagger back here when they're all pretending to be zombies. Mm-hmm. And then bang back at the bar for shots where they have
where
a shootout.
They have a gun.
Yeah. Big bang.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
There's so many like there's so many recurring gags that I swear it took me forever to like and I probably have still missed a couple.
Yeah.
It's
so dense.
Everything is woven together, like a quilt or something. I was thinking, like, what's woven?
Spaghetti with
chocolate and balls.
Okay, I got a metaphor.
Okay,
delicious spaghetti, the best sauce. Like the meatballs are amazing, and
I don't like meatballs.
Mint, like the green mint ice cream. Let's mix that in there.
Sounds fantastic.
It actually does good. Not sound bad.
Actually sounds good.
You guys are a banana.
We're open-minded about yeah. things mixing.
Yeah,
and
yeah I'll
being
try a banana.
Guys, I'm just going to cook the worst stuff for you guys from now on.
But even
I think you're going to have to stick with balls because that's the only
that's the only thing we disagree on.
But guys, if you've tried them,
yeah,
not that bad.
Balls?
Balls.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what was I saying? Anyways, yeah, all the jokes are... woven together so well, and even a lot of the characters come back as zombies later on in the film.
They have the two scenes where Sean, you know, he's waking up for work and he runs down to the shop.
Really great his long shots,
the tracking shot, right?
The tracking.
Yeah, yeah. And he encounters a lot of people on the way. Mm-hmm. There's the kid playing soccer. There's the homeless guy looking for change.
Washing his car. Guy washing
yeah,
his
there,
car.
There are people... when he gets to work, there's people waiting outside at the store. If after the zombie outbreak, you go, he goes back through his same routine where he walks to the store.
And the blocking is almost identical.
And it's
too,
identical.
Yeah.
You see all the exact same people, except they're all zombified. Yeah. And Sean doesn't notice.
Now, my favorite detail about the first time he goes through is kind of the commentary about how we're all kind of zombies already. like everyone is just there's a specific shot where Sean's riding on the bus and you just see a dude in the seat in front of him with headphones on, just kind of bobbing his head, just lifeless. And like everyone's expressions,
yeah,
no one stands out. It's just dull, lifeless, not really living to begin with.
Even the first couple of shots.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time you see Simon Pegg, he shuffles in and almost does a zombie moan, but it turns out to be a yawn. And he's, you know, hunched over half asleep. Yeah, which is what a zombie looks like.
The physical acting in this movie is way underrated. Like, it's praised and still underrated.
they stuff like when Sean shuffles in, they do a really good job of kind of teasing you, like making you expect the zombies to pop in any second. And there's all sorts of fake jump scares.
Yeah.
Just people putting their hands on Sean's shoulder. Sean! There's a big musical crash and you think, oh, it's zombie time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen for, you know, a good 20 or 30 minutes. They do the same thing in the third episode of the Cornetto trilogy
at World's End.
No, that's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Dang it.
Oh, World's End.
The World's End.
The World's End.
The World's End.
I knew it was a preposition or something.
Where I was watching that movie. This is, you know, discussion about a different movie, but I was watching that movie and for the first half hour, I forgot that it was a movie about aliens because it's just a group of friends, you know, going on this pub crawl.
Well, that's what I love about his movies, and it's really strong in this one. Really quick, we should mention the Cornetto trilogy. Cornetto trilogy is Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End. Because in all of those movies,
it's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and Pirates of the Caribbean.
And Pirates of the Caribbean. In all those movies, there's a Cornetto ice cream cone, so it's therefore the Cornetto.
Not only
trilogy.
That, but I mean, like there are like the gags, like jumping over the fence, or
there's a lot of cool connections.
And it's the same director and Simon Pegg and other guy. What's his name?
Nick Frost.
Nick Frost. Mm-hmm. But yeah, back to these movies, you know, this isn't about a zombie movie up front. It's about Simon Pegg's relationships, his relationship with his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, his mother, his father-in-law, and his best friend. And it's a lot of...
stepfather.
Stepfather.
It's not my dad.
Did I say best friend twice? Whatever. Stepfather, yeah.
It's a father-in-law.
Father-in-law. Yeah, you're right, like, it's really interesting for me to watch Nick Frost's character be just so stupid, and for Simon Pegg, who's been defending him the whole time, just snap and tell him how incompetent he is and actually yell at him for once and hold him accountable and then later on reconcile. Like, it's a people movie first.
It's real.
Yeah.
There's so many genuine moments,
which takes me back to the death of the mom. Like, that's kind of like the climax of the genuine storyline in the movie, and then there's the action storyline, which ends with Ed dying. There's the comedy storyline, which doesn't really end. You just see like the zombies being exploited for TV, but
and like physical labor.
Yeah, so many good.
And yeah, you were saying the whole introduction shows people yawning and just kind of going through the motions of life, and I mean, if there is a moral to Shaun of the Dead, it's live a little.
Exactly.
yeah.
A movie about dead people.
Yeah, and Simon Pegg's character needs to live a little. He needs to appreciate his girlfriend and show it, and needs to appreciate. I think he needs to appreciate everybody.
What was it he wrote on the fridge?
Sort life out.
Yeah. I mean, this whole movie is just the evolution of one guy sorting his life out, getting stuff together, growing up. Learning how to live functionally in society.
And he does so by going through his normal routine.
Yeah.
And
finding character
going
growth
to
in
the Winchester and having a pint. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I love that, how in a crisis, the only thing he can think to do, that he and Nick Frost can think to do, is hole up at the Winchester.
Well, it's like David's, you know, line. He says, like, his idea of a romantic getaway and an impenetrable fortress
are
the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that character growth, one of my favorite moments in the movie is the moment where they, like, you're nearing the climax and you are expecting that snap in character. Like, we're seeing little baby steps and you're expecting, like, that one thing to push him over the edge. And what's the guy that no one liked? What was his name?
Nick Frost? Or
no.
Ed?
No.
Oh, David.
So, what was it, David?
David.
So, David says, "And what's going to happen when he gets back? He's going to save us off, or what? We're just going to all sit around eating peanuts in the dark, and whatever." And then Sean gets back, and he kind of has like this kind of badass vibe to him. He's like, "I just, you know,
gave him the slip, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I got around the zombies. I had this big moment. I'm a hero now." And then the next thing we see is just literally that interpretation of they're sitting around in the dark eating peanuts.
Anybody want a peanut?
Would anyone like a peanut?
And it's like that last big moment of him falling short. And then shit hits the fan. All the zombies break in. And he actually comes through as a hero. And so seeing that growth, but I just that one moment of teasing growth and then reverting back to the routine.
Well, I mean, like in the previous scene, he kind of does have that moment a little bit with Ed taking the call and being like, "Hey, I can't really talk right now." Sure. And like all of the zombies obviously are alerted to their presence. And he's like, I'm not going to put up with you dragging me down anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I would agree. Because I feel like that's really the moment that his character changes the most, because everything after that is sort of he needs to rather than he chooses to. Well, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all of that is played really well by Simon Pegg. I think he's probably one of his finer displays of acting, I would say, that I can think of.
So far from being one note. I mean, he was whole range.
I mean, the entire time I'm just watching him physically acting, and it's just always like he's always doing something interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, he's never just standing there.
And I buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the other characters are pretty not as fleshed out, I'll say, if not one dimensional, such as Nick Frost, but
David. Extremely one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And which one was he?
The
annoying guy.
The annoying guy.
The human pinata.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a,
oh my gosh,
a big old treat inside.
That's probably the grossest part of the movie.
Yeah.
I can't.
Can I talk?
I was shuddering.
I might have mentioned this before.
Yeah.
I don't get zombie logic. Maybe that's why I don't like this movie as much as you guys.
I'm confused what you mean by zombie logic.
Because those two words don't go together.
All right. Okay. Like every other, like a vampire movie, a werewolf movie, I get it. But zombie movies do this weird thing where they present it as this thing that could kind of happen. Like, oh, it's like something was in the food or it was a virus or an infection.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are now, when they die or become unconscious or whatever, sometimes it's vague, they become this mindless thing because there's viruses in their brain and it made them cannibalistic and very simple-minded.
But the idea of a full moon turning a person into a wolf.
Well, no. Well, because with that premise, I'm like, okay, well, this isn't like, I suspend like my disbelief way more. With the zombie movie, I'm like, okay, well, these are just people that have been infected. How is it that when she's impaled, she doesn't die just because she's a zombie? Because also, when you become a zombie, the idea is you start to rot. You know, all your fibers and muscles and tissues start to rot.
I mean,
So you should be more susceptible to death if you get impaled. Granted, well, it's the territory.
Like, zombies in general, like, I feel like are portrayed as stronger than they should ever be.
Yeah.
Like, breaking through shit and, like, but it's also rigor mortis is, you know, that would probably set in. They probably would be totally useless after a couple of hours.
Well, for me, I'm like, oh, the virus prevents that because it keeps them moving.
I'm more curious about how after she gets impaled and you see a hole through her and she has part of her spine missing, how she moves.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you kind of still have to suspend your disbelief for zombies.
I just have to move along with
the ride. Well, I mean, it's creepy as hell, but I mean, like, have you ever seen parasites that, like,
will take over bugs and shit?
It's terrifying.
That's super gross.
Yeah, I was on Reddit, and it was the risky click of the day, and I just, like, I was like, I wonder what this is all about, and I saw, like, a grasshopper or a praying mantis acting all funky. I was like, oh, what's up with this thing, and then like a gross like parasite just like springs out of it. I was like, oh no.
It's like it was like a huge worm that was bigger than the grasshopper too.
Oh god, it's like so the stuff of nightmares. It's like, if there's a creation god, why would you ever?
There's a theory that Toad from Mario is one of those things. He's like a fungi, like what? Like the his little
he has
hat
a fungi.
His little hat is a fungus.
Yeah, it's a fun guy.
He hosts a party like 10 times.
All right, I'll give you a point for that, Michael.
So I don't know if the score for the movie is worth mentioning too much. It does its job.
Oh, the musical score.
Yes, the original score.
I thought you meant like the score that we mention every week.
Oh, sorry. No, that matters immensely. It's the most important thing.
Well, it's kind of like it does its job, like you said.
But it is worth mentioning only because of the one scene, possibly the most famous scene, when the jukebox comes on at the end and Don't Stop Me Now.
Kill the Queen.
On.
I mean the jukebox.
Michael?
Queen? Yay or nay?
Everyone's looking at Michael expecting him to gush about Queen right now.
They are so overrated.
By you.
Jukeboxes, right?
But I do want to mention that just because I think the editing in this movie and in all three of the Cornetto movies is so amazing and stylish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a great video essay that I watched. It was all about Edgar Wright's visual gags and like the way that he edits
not,
his
not
movies.
Even just gags,
yeah,
storytelling,
yeah, exactly
how the he way can convey so much
he
like
edits and he oh sorry that he just is able to convey so much with so little so fast.
There's
a really perfect I mean there's so many perfect examples, but like I noticed when they are going to go into the shed to find weapons to fend off Mary and the other big guy, they're just like, go into the shed. I thought you said the shed's locked. And instead of like showing them trying to break in, just the next shot is from inside the shed, and you just see Sean like smashes through the wall.
Yeah. And you fill in the pieces. You know exactly what happened, and it just keeps the story moving.
Like
and
he can probably chop 20 pages off the average script by just visual storytelling.
And of course, there's the sort of now what I would describe as the Edgar Wright transition, where like you've got the fast zooms cuts and the quick wipes and
the mini montages.
Yeah, where you've got like you know he's scraping jam across toast and like
with the
coffee,
gain, like that
toilet flushing and hand washing,
all
happening in rapid succession.
They had one where it was right after the scene with Mary, and then they go back inside, and you see a bunch of quick cuts, and one of them is like a shot of the TV with like the prime minister or something like addressing like a national emergency, but it's there for half a second, and like it was just like a subliminal like if you're seeing it for the first time, you're like something's really wrong, but you don't even notice it until you're like, oh, I just saw that.
I love that in this movie he has so many opportunities. Sean has to notice that there's a crisis going on. It's like he starts to read the paper, but the guy at the counter of his local market comes.
It's following him around all day.
Yeah. Like he hears sirens in the background. He doesn't really care. Like he's flipping through channels and it's all news talking about it and he doesn't care. And as he flips through channels, the sentence is continuous.
Yeah, that was great.
Like on one channel, there is a crisis among
animals being attacked by.
Humans are being
eaten alive
on the Discovery Channel. Yeah.
My favorite one of those is when when Simon and Nick walk out of the bar after Liz breaks up with them, and they start heckling the couple that they think are making out. And they turn away just in time to miss one of the zombies' heads fall backwards.
I missed that because I was looking at them. Motion's moving the other
way. It looks like they're making out, and then Simon and Nick turn away, and then at that exact moment in the background, you see
that
the head
couple was actually eating his neck.
And his head
falls back.
Yeah. That's another thing is timing in this movie.
It's perfect. Yeah.
There's another point, like I think right before that actually in the previous scene where he's like, I'm not gonna tell you that, you know, there are other fish in the sea. I'm not gonna tell you that if you love her, let her go. What I am gonna say is this, it's not the end of the world. Boom, as soon as that happens,
a zombie slaps
outside
the window.
He's like, hey, we're closed, get out of here.
And you see him slowly start to you don't notice it the first time, but if you now knowing that it's there, you see the zombie shadow slowly get closer and closer.
You know what's sad? Like I feel like that might actually happen to me. Like if there was a zombie apocalypse,
I wouldn't be so oblivious.
I wouldn't pay enough attention. Like if a siren goes by, I almost never think about it. You know,
like, you need to hear a lot of sirens before you're like, oh, I should take a look.
Like, what's
or
going on?
Check the news.
You're just so set in your ways, and I think that comes back to like the whole.
We're all zombies.
I guess I'm just a good citizen because whenever I hear a siren, I assess my situation. I figure out if I need to move out of the way, and I try and do what I can to help.
Well, I'm talking
I don't believe
about
you. -1 point. You're back down to zero,
but I really do.
I jump on the back of the ambulance and ride it to
I
the
believe
scene.
That you get out of the way scene. Of the ambulance.
You become a paramedic. All right, everybody, move aside, move
aside.
I
genuinely try and identify this horse anytime I hear a siren.
Okay.
So I can throw stuff
still
at it.
Still don't believe.
Frogs?
No.
Oh.
What?
The ambulance scene with
the
frogs.
That was several weeks ago.
Set up punchline, man. I give up.
Yeah. Just
Steven, you're back negative two. I'll go ahead and give you
zero
one,
it out.
Negative
like
one.
We said, Steven will pick, but he may not win.
Do we have anything else that we wanted to hit on with this movie?
I have lots of things I want to hit on, but they're not in this
What'd
movie.
What'd you think of Liz and Di?
Liz is super hot.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
She's... I agree. She is pretty hot, but she's not like your classical...
Well, she's not slutty.
Sure.
I don't think hot and slutty are synonymous.
No, I mean, but like she's not like showing it off. Like she just is a very
She's not.
What
I'm saying is she's British hot.
She's British hot. I can see that.
You know what?
That's like an insult.
No.
Maybe.
Nobody in this movie is so glamorously attractive. Everybody's a real person, you know? Mm-hmm. Some people are attractive, some aren't. In this movie, the cast is fairly good looking, but like in a normal, believable kind of way.
Well,
you know?
A lot of these people actually came from Spaced, which was...
They came from space?
They came from outer space.
What?
A lot of these.
You don't pick up on that until you watch it
like
third or fourth time.
Yeah.
Okay. Spaced is a great show if you guys ever get the chance. That was kind of like what Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and even the guy who played Pete were doing, you know, and Edgar Wright were all doing before this movie, and Edgar and the gang got big.
Nice.
And it's also a very well-written show. The girl
Edgar
who played
Yvonne,
gang. Who keeps coming up mm-hmm. throughout the movie, is like one of the main characters.
Mm-hmm. Edgar and the gang is my favorite R&B soul group from the 70s.
So. They are not mine.
For a limited time only, you can have Edgar and the gang's smash hits.
What was her name? Fawn?
Yvonne? I think it's Yvonne or Vaughn or something.
One of my favorite scenes is when Sean's group meets up with Yvonne's group.
Yeah.
And they're all parallels. Yeah.
And Martin Freeman.
And Martin Freeman is her boyfriend for some reason, because every British comedian is in every British comedy ever, basically.
I think it's just every British actor is in every British thing.
Yeah, there's only seven.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen Downton Abbey? It's like all of them.
Yeah, Simon Pegg is huge on Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. Watching this movie is like taking a master class in screenwriting, I think.
Yeah.
And directing.
And editing. And filmmaking.
And visual. There's some great micro composition at what is his girlfriend's name? Liz?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At Liz's apartment door.
Ryan, I'm going to give
Michael
you
was,
point for the screenwriting bit.
Thank you. Yeah. Michael was complaining about that part, though.
I think he was joking.
Yes, I know.
Wait, which part?
The micro
door. I was like, oh, the format.
I think
resolution.
What is this aspect ratio?
Yeah.
Because it's framing him,
within
Sean, on the other side
of a
dark
window.
Doorway.
Door with a window, yeah.
And
but also it's making him look smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Like,
that's how he feels in that
Like
moment.
On every bullet point.
Or he's feeling boxed in.
That's another thing. The first time he goes to Liz's apartment, he tries to climb up to the second floor and fails. And then the second time he goes and succeeds. And it's just like, you know, little tiny character arcs being jumped throughout this movie.
That specific gag, the first time you see they're telling him, we're not letting you in. And then like the camera shifts over to show the balcony and you hear the noise of someone climbing. And then you like it stops. And then
2 seconds
later, you hear the buzz and he's like, please let me in.
that's another sort of format of joke is I think it's called There and Back Again. Where like you direct
tail
by
Bilbo Bag by Martin Freeman.
By Martin Freeman, who's in this movie. What they do is, you know, they'll direct your attention somewhere and then the action will start to happen off. Like it happens when you just mentioned, also when he's like, okay, everybody stay put, I'm gonna have a lookout, and he like climbs up the little slide and you only see like his feet. And like the frame doesn't change, and then he comes back down and he's got like this sullen look on him. And I can think of one more.
It's not even only his feet. Like, it's basically just his shoulders that go out of frame.
And then there's also when he's like, hey, are they still out there? And Nick Frost goes over to the window, opens up the drapes. They're just clawing directly in front of him. And he closes the drapes, walks back over. Yeah, So I love, like, every, it doesn't get tired, even though he uses the same sorts of jokes repeatedly throughout the movie.
And I think part of that is because he is one of the main practitioners of those film techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Going today, like, it's not commonplace.
Even if you look at it, like,
it's kind of a British style humor. It is, to be honest.
It is, yeah.
Just very dry sort of humor.
I mean, even if you look back, it is like his first movie. I'm putting that in quotes for those of you who can't see, which is most of you. It's
literally all but three people.
He does a lot of the same like swipes and things that a young filmmaker might not even consider doing. So you can really see
that's
the talent.
An option?
Yeah. Like, you can really see the talent from that early on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So that being said.
Cool.
We want to rate this
sucker? Let's do it.
I'm going to rate you, sucker.
I'll start it.
Okay.
It's a great movie. Guys. This is a good movie.
Guys.
Right?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen some shitty movies.
Yeah.
And this is not one of them.
I thought I knew my rating when I came here today. I've changed it. I'm going to give it an A+.
I'm going to echo that rating. Being the one who brought this movie as one of my favorite movies, I stand by it. And I, like, this is one of those movies that I think, at least for me, you can just watch over and over and over again. And I've gotten to the point where I can visualize it completely if I'm just listening to the dialogue, but it's still such a treat to just sit down and enjoy and have a pint, wait for this whole thing to blow over.
Of ice cream. It's a lot of calories, but yeah, you do it.
So I'm also going to give it an A+.
It's the friend that I was always jealous of. It's
you can't hate him.
It's smart and funny and you know, super quick and sharp and tragic and dramatic and romantic and zombrom, etc.
Romantic .com.
Yeah, I didn't think I was gonna give it an A+ when I came in here either, but that's what it is. A+.
I'm gonna
go ahead, Steven. Bring it down.
Yeah, go, go for it. I dare you.
I'll take your dare head on, James. Extremely solid movie. No, really, extremely solid movie. I think on each individual bullet point, it excels. I just think like a pickle in a lasagna.
Well, considering
well, that
she
was
calls
his
him
nickname.
Yeah, she calls him
I know.
Pickle.
I would love to see Simon
that
Pegg.
That sounds
in a lasagna.
Fantastic.
Stop
it's
pickle
like
in
like
a lasagna?
Coming out of a birthday cake.
That's like honestly like I was a little iffy
like a dildo
on the other
in
stuff.
A pickle patch. You could have just said that.
There you go.
I don't like cheese, but I would eat lasagna with Simon Pegg on it. Like it's not even that he's an out of place ingredient. He makes the ingredients I don't like better.
Okay, let me finish this writing. I just, you know, everybody when people tell me about this movie, they promise me a comedy. And I compare it to other comedies that have sad parts. This one, the sad part is so sad, it just conflicts with everything else, and it brings like the rest of the third act down for me. So I can't go higher than a B+.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts.
Let's see if it could...
Where does that leave us?
Let's see if it could actually withstand...
The brunt of
it's
that.
Still
oh,
a,
it's an A.
Yeah, that's still an A.
Still a solid movie.
Yeah, I just... That tone,
you're,
it just changes
wrong.
Too much.
It's like your opinion is is wrong. Alrighty.
So, yeah, that's an A for Shaun of the Dead.
Finally, we can pull our pants back up.
Did I ever tell you that a good friend of mine actually got to take a picture with Edgar Wright, Nick Frost, and Simon Pegg?
I've taken a picture with Edgar Wright before.
Have you?
Yeah, I helped interview him for Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, man, that would have been cool.
I got to meet, like, the entire cast.
That's another movie I love.
I took a picture of the sunset in L.A. and then hashtagged it no filter.
Does your friend who you're jealous of listen to our podcast?
Hey, friend, you want to listen to this podcast where I compliment
definitely.
You?
You should, yeah.
Is
you
that
should
a thing
like,
you're jealous of, that he gets to hear our podcast
you should
without
just reach
being a
out
part
to
of
him
it?
And just be like, hey,
hey
you
man,
know,
thinking
I met
of you.
You in this podcast. Yeah.
And will you marry me?
And will you? Yeah.
I honestly wonder if he did listen to it, if he would guess
that it was
that it was him. because he's really humble too.
He'd probably be like, of course he is. He'd probably be like, yeah, that is me.
There's an episode of Doug that deals with people like that, and according to Doug, he's very stressed out. He just doesn't show it. And one day he's going to cheat off your test.
I believe it.
And people are going to blame you because he's such an upstanding citizen.
Doug the show?
How could
Doug funny?
Yeah, Doug funny. But then you'll like realize that he has his flaws, and y'all will come to understand each other better.
I don't
challenge.
I don't think Ryan's friend
challenge.
Wait, can our challenge be to find the flaws of Ryan's friend?
All right, pull up his Facebook.
All right, here we go.
I got nothing. This guy's perfect.
All his ex-girlfriends are super
Greek
high.
God.
What is that in Superbad where he's like, did you ever look at his eyes? It's like the first time I heard the Beatles.
James, let's recap our points.
Okay. Ryan, you were leading with 2 points. Michael in the middle, 0. Michael in the middle sounds like a show.
It sounds like
Malcolm in the middle, which is a show, yeah.
That would make sense then, wouldn't it? And Steven, -1.
All right.
But it's still anyone's game.
It's still anyone's game.
James, what's our challenge?
So it's going to be a little bit of a joint challenge this time.
Steven,
smoke this joint.
More blunt.
And whoever can be the most coherent. No. So what we're going to do is you guys are holed up in the Winchester.
Right.
Steven, since you're trailing, you're going to have a massive gash on your shoulder.
So I'm the mom.
You're losing blood fast.
I'm
you
the
are
mom.
The mom. You are. You don't necessarily have to be the mom, but you are pretty much screwed.
I'm the mom. Of the Ramzam.
Michael, you
don't
are
do it.
Going to be
I'm so
Liz.
Typecast. Okay, thank God. It's like, I'm going to be
can
Ed.
We all just be
I'm just, I basically am Ed.
Can we all just be... You're far more useful than Ed.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let me turn my cell phone on
yeah,
silent.
You haven't answered your phone once this whole podcast.
So you are the one who is holding the rifle.
Of course.
And you're, Ryan, you are going to be the one who is doing the lookout and also taking care of Steven. You guys don't have much time.
What was my character equivalent then?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
The old lady from the Winchester who used to do porn.
Oh, okay. You're coccidental maniac.
I don't.
So we are all women. Perfect.
Yeah, you're all women.
Wait, I'm a woman?
Yeah, you were Liz.
Oh, I'm Liz. Okay.
You don't necessarily have to be, but sorry. I like to place my.
I
know,
hate
characters.
That you gave me this role then because I'm just going to go to a mirror and look at myself.
So yeah, you are going to try to also figure out like if there's anything else that you can do. Try to find an escape route.
Okay.
I'm going to say, you know, you've got maybe a minute or two of your fortress coming down on.
Are you going to be like our dungeon master and say like I checked the walls for
you're going to have to roll for okay. initiative. Yeah. And scene. I'll do some background stuff.
Oh. Mrs. Burnett.
Yes.
Here, let me it's you. Okay.
It's me.
let me try and patch this up.
If you had gone to me quicker instead of patching up Liz, I might not be in this situation,
okay.
dear.
Wait, it was like 2 seconds. Don't get sassy.
Was that a zombie that did that to you for sure?
Oh, he was just a little mad. I'm it's not really his fault.
I'm applying pressure. Oh God, what is that?
Oh, this ruckus.
Mrs. Burnett, I'm gonna are you okay? I'm gonna have to I'm
are
gonna
you
go
of
look
use
for
to us.
My head.
I'm hey, gonna go look hey, for a way out of here.
Hey, how can you contribute to us?
Liz, watch her, please. I'm gonna go look for an escape route.
I have other things I wanna do.
Please just
oh. You blew off my
what
arm.
What are you doing?
I missed her head.
What? That was the wrong arm, too.
She's not even dead yet.
Well, she's supposed to be after that.
Dear, I liked you. My son.
Hey, I liked you, too, but I'm survival, man.
What do you see in her, Sean?
I am a really bad shot. Okay, we're going to try this point blank.
No,
like
fine.
Literally point blank.
I think I actually just...
Oh. Steven's dead.
You want to get some
How
drinks?
How could you do that?
Her,
look, she's coming back now.
How? I blew off her head. Does this gun not work? What is that?
All right, I'm going to go check.
I have other bullets.
Great. Here, I'm picking up this stool. I'm picking up the stool and fending off zombies with it.
And I have a gun, and I'm way better at it. I don't understand. Look, just get
you,
a drink
you
with
missed
me.
The first shot from 2 feet away.
Well, you're dead too.
It's
now.
It's on me. It's on me.
Oh God, you got bit. Are you?
Well, guess what? I'm just gonna bite you.
Don't. Hold on. How did I miss? How did I miss? I was literally touching your forehead with the barrel, and I hit your leg. What?
I think this gun is defective.
Ooh, I hope she's all right.
Who said that?
The grape lady.
And scene.
The grape lady?
Who's the grape lady?
His moan at the end. You know, like that famous news clip on YouTube where, oh, you just squished the grape.
Okay.
Oh, I hope she's all right.
The grape lady.
Forgot about that video. Okay. Well, Michael, you were the only one who survived, it looks like. So automatically you get 2 points.
You guys didn't give me much of a chance to look for escape routes, to be honest.
There was a lot going on. I mean, it was the heat of the moment, you know.
I'm sorry. I did have an ulterior motive of, like, pre-zombie apocalypse. I was a renowned serial killer.
Oh, you were just looking for an excuse to kill me in the first place.
Yeah.
Steven, I'm going to give you 2 points for taking that bullet like a champ.
Both
you are,
twice.
You were already, you know, you were already pretty screwed, so... The fact that you were able to remain standing after you got your arm blown
off. Do I get a point for my British old woman voice?
No.
Oh.
But dear.
And Ryan?
I forget. Can you beg for points on this podcast?
Depends on who the host is, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
James, can I get a point for not begging for
just
points?
Just leave it
earlier?
At that. Can I get a point?
You know what? I like your style, Michael.
Yes!
Ryan, you're also going to get a point for, I don't know.
Participating.
A participant badge in the challenge.
I think that's the first time ever on that one.
Ryan, you were there.
It was a tiebreaker. Michael and Ryan were tied with 2 points, and I honestly just didn't want to let Michael win. So.
It's a conspiracy, man.
So
hey, but hey, as predicted, Ryan even lost and gets to pay.
Ryan is technically the winner,
and that's
but
from under a rock.
But you don't get to pick. Maybe next time.
Next
all
week
right.
For sure.
I'm at the end of the cycle, so that's what our next pick is. The end of the cycle. No, the next pick.
It's a documentary
I've
about laundry.
One. Oh, I was thinking like bikes. Or the
cycle. People who get their laundry stolen at laundromats.
End of the cycle.
End of the cycle.
Brutal stuff. No,
but
for real.
But it's about like kids whose parents used to steal and then they...
Not anymore.
It's the cycle of
this
abuse
with me.
But in laundry.
I am a
it's
Jedi.
It's like Bicycle Thieves, but set in modern day.
Yeah.
All
right. People don't
steal
bicycles anymore.
My real favorite movie is actually the original Star Wars, but I'm saving that for later in the year. Next to the Star Wars trilogy, I gotta go Back to the Future. So we are going to watch Back to the Future as our next pick of the cycle.
I didn't expect you to pick that. You said you
that's
were going
the
back
power
to the future,
of
but
love.
That it was your pick. I'm glad you picked it.
That's the power of love.
But
wait, guys, are we doing the Burger King trip?
I'm down.
I don't know. As long as we get a refreshing Pepsi while we're at it.
Pepsi free.
Hey, you want a Pepsi, you're going to pay for it.
For any listeners who don't know, we live like 5 minutes away from a Burger King that is shown in the movie. We all live together.
Most
now.
Of us.
So that's actually not the movie that's coming out next week. The review next week, we have a review with our first guest of this new season of Foire, who is bringing
season two,
who's bringing Doctor Strangelove.
Or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Yes. We have Mark Gray coming in. We've collaborated with him a couple times on our YouTube channel, and he's coming in to help us out on our podcast. So be ready for Doctor Strangelove next week. Give that a watch. But then for the week after, we are watching Back to the Future, and I want you guys to tell me, who would you want to time travel with? Who would you want to take with you on the trip? Usually the question is, who would you like to meet? But that gets asked so much. So again, who would you like to take with you on your time traveling trip?
Oh man, who would be a good person to bring along?
Exactly.
Time traveling.
McDudes.
McDudes? Me?
Yeah.
That's not really the question though, is it?
I would love to time travel with you.
I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't like to time travel with you. I'm just saying who a historical figure would be.
He didn't
cool
say
with
historical
that.
Figure.
I guess that's true. I guess it is an
time
open,
adventure,
it is an
buddy.
Open.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's hop on in.
I'd watch that movie.
McDudes and the Burbs.
McDudes and the Burbs. A time travel.
Wait, can you do that fist bump again?
Ching.
So
that's gonna be a freeze frame.
Are our fists made of glass?
Ching. Oh God.
Like the movie Unbreakable.
So yeah,
totally breakable.
If you haven't seen, or if you have seen Doctor Strangelove, watch it, enjoy it, or don't. And
you say if you have seen it, watch it. If you haven't seen it, forget about
you,
it.
I said if you have or haven't.
If you have watched it, it's about time that you did again. Am I right?
I mean, we just watched it. We've already recorded the episode, guys.
You can.
It's a little bit of movie magic for you.
You can still talk to us about it on our Facebook page.
We're there.
Personal one. Facebook.com.
Ignore the podcast Facebook.
Facebook.com.
Hit us up on
Messenger. Rock.
Facebook.com.
Yes. Tweet us at FUA Rock Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Email us.
FUARock@gmail.com. And while you're at it, just rate us on iTunes. You know?
Oh, I was about to remind you.
And
give us
if
a,
you
want to
give us
this,
five stars, great. If you think we suck, give us one star. We're not going to read it.
The important thing is that you care.
The important thing is that we made you feel an emotion strong enough to go to iTunes and either vent or praise.
So nowhere.
The moral of the story is live your life.
Live your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try something new. Rate us on iTunes.
Go do some acid.
I mean, what could it couldn't hurt.
Michael's opinions do not reflect those of From Under a Rock.
They actually do.
Yeah, we're a subsidiary, so we can't say that.
I actually have legally changed my name to From Under a Rock. it's a bad move.
You know, you can also comment on the highlight reel that you might be watching on the Hyperdrive YouTube channel, along with such other fine content as.
So this last week, actually, I got contacted. Watching all the Star Wars has finally paid off. I got to direct a Star Wars video. Someone asked me to direct a Star Wars video just because I'm an expert on it. On Strawberry 17, it's a huge channel I love, so go check that out. It's called Breakfast with the Jedi, and I have a little behind-the-scenes vlog of me and Megan making that thing on her channel, and that vlog is on my channel, so go check it out. It was a fun collaboration.
So many channels.
So many channels. Surfer. It's the way it works, man.
But there's nothing on.
Nothing on. Except for that collab. You should check it out. So that's what's up with Hyperdrive.
Cool.
Guys, our mic covers don't taste very good.
It's like a mic cover and spaghetti.
You know, actually.
Actually, I'm going to give you that one, yeah.
And that'll do it.
That's going to do it for
another
episode
of...
Let's go around for one last roll call.
Starting with me. Hi,
I'm James McAnally,
a.k.a. McDoodles. Thanks for listening, you guys, and watching at home.
I'm Michael
Ornelas,
a.k.a. Mike Bourbon.
The Burbs.
Zarita Ornelas.
Esquire.
The jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades, clearly.
The talent.
I guess I'm just Steven Zarita at this point.
And I'm just Ryan Evans. Ryan. Thank you for taking
your
pants off
with us
on this week's
podcast.
Carrie.
Guys, let's just take off our pants and hug each other with self-loathing.
Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under a Rock. Guys, you got to look at the YouTube video. You are missing out right now.
It's happening. Oh, I thought you pulled your boxers all down too. I was like, I'm just not going to look and hope his penis isn't touching mine.
I'm just going to hope for the best. You asked for it. It happens.
You guys each start with 5 points next week.
By the way, there was so much self-loathing.
There was a lot.
And that's why we do a video.